Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your host and engineer for tonight's show of the Science of Health and You. We want to thank you for the opportunity to present ourselves to you again this week, providing you with interactive tools and resources and information to provide you with self-care initiatives for optimal health. We've been on the air for almost a year, and we're going through our second Ramadan on the air, and we are going to provide for you some basic information and tools tonight, very special tools tonight, to help us navigate ourselves through this wonderful month that's about to proceed. But just first of all, just a little housekeeping that we need to do today. For those of you who are on the internet and who would like to ask a question of our guest tonight or just want to make a comment, we're going to have to call in to 714-816-4673. Again, that's 714-816-4673. And if you have a question and maybe you have one of those phones where you're on the internet and your provider won't let you call in for the purposes of charging you money, we do have another line that you can text information in if you have a question, and that number is 650-669-0458. That's 650-669-0458. And you can text me what question you may have, and I can ask that particular question online for you. For those of you who are here for the first time, welcome. This is Rashid Salam, as I said before, and this is IWDM Radio. We're on every Tuesday. There's a host of programs that take place on IWDM. But tonight is the show that we talk about you, the science of who you are, the health of who you are, mental health, physical health. There's many different avenues where health is involved, and we try to provide you with those that information that can help and assist you in your growth and development and provide you with alternative resources with a full array of information, different broad, different sides of life, different lectures and individuals who come on and provide their tools and their information so we can have a way of making a determination instead of running to the hospitals and going to individuals who are going to just write us a little nice little prescription on a white piece of paper that will tell you this will solve your problem. And we know for a fact that our condition here in America is not what it should be. And our health care, our mental health, is not what it should be in this country. So we try to help and assist as part of the problem, provide you with solutions which make sure that we can help and assist you so you can solve some of your problems. The problem is only a problem when you don't have an answer. And we hope and pray that we can provide you with that. So tonight we have a special guest. And I want to open up with Bismillahi Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I do have a guest host that comes on my show every single Tuesday with us. That's Abdul Shahid out of Atlanta, Georgia. He will be hosting with me tonight, and we will entertain our guests. And I think it's going to be an outstanding program. We're talking about preparing ourselves for Ramadan, but more importantly, Ramadan and beyond. That's just so important that whatever we do during this month, we should be able to continue that growth, the development, the education, and information that we were able to attain during this special time period, and keep up with it throughout the year so we can keep optimal health and secure ourselves a future that we could have generational health. We have a lot of people talk about generational wealth, but without good health, you won't have any wealth. So we hope that you can attain that by listening to our show and a number of our guests who comes on and provides you with information, education, that could help you and assist you in that regard. I want to at least introduce my guest tonight, my co-host, shall I say, Abdul Shahid, and we're going to bring on a wonderful, wonderful speaker tonight who's going to provide us with more tools. As we had last week, we had a young lady who came on and talked about the human heart, and it was a very, very special, unique program. And tonight, we're going to have someone on to provide us with some other tools and resources that will be helpful in our growth and our development. Abdul Shahid, do you want to give us a greeting today?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. How you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam.
How's our listeners?
I think we're in
excellent,
for a treat
excellent.
Tonight. We're in for a treat tonight with
Karima
Medina Bilal. And I'm trying to make sure I see her number here in the queue. She hasn't pushed one yet. Karima, if you're on the line, could you push one so I can open up your mic in the studio? That would be very, very helpful. And in the meantime, we do want to let the radio listening audience know that we're on every Tuesday from 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, and 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And our goal is to talk about us. Our goal is to talk about who we are, what we are, what we consist of. And one of the key elements of who we are and what we are is that we're made up of over 200 cell types, and we always stress the cells and the growth and development and how they work. And we know that our bodies are 75 to 100 trillion cells and things of that nature. But we just try to break it down to the point where you can understand what we talk about. We talk about cellular health. We talk about those things that we have to do to ensure that we have a sustainable life. And that's so important to us. So we are waiting on Medina. I don't know if you're on the line, press 1 on your phone, Sister Medina. I mean, Sister Karima. And we will open the mic up for you so you can speak directly into our studio. So in the meantime, while she's getting situated there, I do want to set the stage for where we are tonight. You know, you heard me talk about sick soil, sick plants, sick animals, sick people. We know that a lot of things that we eat today has a value that's not even worth talking about. And so in doing so, we try to share with you some alternative educational things that will help you and assist you cleanse yourself, prepare yourself for what's to come, and how to get some of these genetically altered things out of our body. And there are certain things that we talk about here and certain things that we other people we bring on to share with us, information pertaining to blood cleansing, pertaining to all those particular things that are necessary to make our bodies healthy and provide us with optimal health. Our goal is to help you establish a life plan, a self-care life manual. That's our goal from what we talk about on our program. And for those of you who are on the line currently, whether you're on the internet or wherever you may be, pick up the telephone and call a friend. Call someone up and tell them, come listen to someone talk about you, because you are a multitude of nothing but cells. If you don't know how your cells work, you don't know how your body works. So we want to make sure that we can share this information with ourselves so we can take that information and share it with our children, and our children can share it with their children, and we can have a better lifestyle, a better mindset, a better understanding of how to sustain our lives in this country. Karima, if you're on, I don't have you in the queue at this point. I do have a 516 number here. I don't know whether it's you or not, but let me tune in here and see if your mic is open. I need you to press 1 on your phone if you are in the queue, and we're going to bring you on with an introduction here. Is it you, Karima?
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, is that you? Okay,
yes. Well, let's go.
The other 516
number you have is my husband.
No problem at all. All right, we want to welcome you to IWD Radio. And, you know, I'm trying here as I pull up your bio, but for the sake of time, I don't think anybody can talk about you better than you. So if you can open up and tell us who you are and so forth and so on before we get started with your presentation tonight. And you do have a special presentation to make. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think I misunderstood you. We were planning for 7:30, and so if we can arrange to do that, that will make for a better presentation.
That's no problem.
We'll be here. We're in the queue because we heard you speaking, but 7:30 will be just perfect.
Okay, you want to come in at 7:30 hour, your time. Okay, very good. So we got about 13 more minutes to go here, right?
And we'll do it.
Okay, very good. We'll give you a chance to get situated and also give you a chance to pull up your bio for those of you today. So real quickly, Abdul Saheed, we want to ensure and make sure that our listening audience understands the importance of good health. So if you could just open up with and talk about health for us real quick, and we have about another 10 About 15 more minutes, Sister Karima will be available to speak to us and share with us her presentation for tonight. So with
Give all the praise and thanks to the Almighty Source Creator for allowing us to be here this afternoon, this evening, rather, and for allowing our listeners to be here as well. So we're just going to share a few things generally about health. And we all know now, for those people who've been listening to us, for a while, know that our health comes from ourselves. No place else. Our health comes from ourselves. Our body is like Brother Rashid has already stated, composed of 75 to 100 trillion cells, all types of cells. Here's the thing. If our cells are healthy, we will be healthy. If our cells are sick, we will be sick. And this is how it goes. There's many things in our environment, in the food, in the water, in the air, in the product that we use on our skin, our hair, our nails, things that we expose ourselves to, things that we are inhaling. All these things would affect our health. Why? Because they will affect our cells and their function, the structure of the cell, the function of the cell. And when those things affect our cell to the extent where the DNA is compromised, our cells are compelled to produce symptoms and disease to get our attention, to get our attention. And here's the thing again, brothers and sisters, the symptom and the disease are not meant to kill us. They are meant for us to put things back to normalcy. This is it. They are meant to put things back to normalcy. So we've been gifted with this body, but we have different rules, systems that govern our anatomy and physiology, that govern our body. And these are the things and the information that we share every week on the signs of health in you. For example, there's pH rule. There's the iron rule, the sulfur rule, the intuition rule. There's laws of physics, the three basic laws of physics that deal with motion, speed, and opposites. And there are natural laws, universal laws. All these things we have to be in compliance with. If we're not in compliance with these rules and laws that govern the universe, our body will give a sign called symptoms. And if we don't put things back to normalcy and obey the rule and correct our mistakes, those symptoms will grow into full-blown diseases. This is what happens. So we must understand these different rules, rules to health. And there's a number of them. We must understand the laws of physics. Because the laws of physics, that's what govern the physical world, the universe. And this is the information that we share every week on this program. The food that we eat will compromise our cells. So there's a science called symptometry, symptometric science, that has analyzed the food that we eat, the water that we drink, and the air that we breathe. And there's health disruptors in all of these things. Health disruptors in all of these things. And we've come to learn that all food is not the same. The water is not the same. And, of course, the air we breathe is a different quality of air depending on where we are, in our home, in our car, in our office, on the train, on the bus, in our all these things. The quality of the air, we impact ourselves, which will impact our health. All of these things have to be taken under consideration, brothers and sisters. On planet Earth, there's a lot of booger traps. Earth is a very predatory place, and oftentimes we do not look at it like that. There are predators everywhere, predators that we can see, and there are unseen predators. They're called microbes. They're everywhere, in the form of viruses, bacteria, fungus, mold, yeast, protozoa, parasites, worms, These things are everywhere. They make life favorable for us to exist here. They made the food to be able to grow here. All these things, they were here long before we came along, and they're not going anywhere. So now we have to live, learn how to live with these things by keeping ourselves in balance with the creation. And many of these microbes are already inside of us. They're already inside of us. We have streptococcus that enforces the pH rule. If you break the pH rule, then he's going to be upset, going to wreak havoc throughout our 11 system. So we have to understand the pH rule. pH, specific hydrogen. In different parts of the body, the pH is different, and it must be maintained. If we violate that rule, then streptococcus comes out and releases toxin. This is what happens. He releases his toxin. But if we obey the pH rule, streptococcus will be our best friend by killing invaders that come into our body, our system, to attack us. Streptococcus will even take care of many of them. Absolutely amazing.
Okay.
So there are different rules to health. So we'll be sharing these different rules, Brother Rashid, as time permits. Thank
yes,
you.
And you know, we're basically, our show is really designed each and every week to provide you with some different system in the body, and we try to break those systems down to relevant terms that our listening audience can really learn from. That's why we ask you to get your pad and your paper out tonight. Get your pen, because you're going to hear something tonight that you probably never heard before. There's no charge. You don't have to pull out your Medicaid or Medi-Cal card on the information that you're going to learn today. These are the things that you're going to learn that your doctor will not talk to you about, because if he did, you'll be messing with his money. And I hate to say it that way, and we just have to get down to the nitty-gritty. What is the purpose of having a doctor who's not going to provide you with the educational tools, the information that you need to heal yourself, you know, and not treat you, but heal yourself? So that's really important, that we have to be more aware and have more, a little bit more trust in ourselves. And the only way you're going to have trust in yourself is that you know. You're going to believe what someone tells you with a title attached to his name, just like we look at doctors and politicians and singers and all these people who have titles attached to their name. We have the utmost respect for them. But what type of dignity and respect do you have for yourself and what you know? Because I'm on the same level as the rest of them. You know, I study. I look into things as a scientist. I try to access as much information I can about who I am, what I am, and particularly how your body works. You know, we walk around with these bodies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we can't even tell ourselves how it functions. If your child asks you a science, why does blood flow so fast? You know, what does heartbeat mean, mom, dad, grandparent, grandma, grandfather? You know, we couldn't even answer these particular questions. I'm not trying to put anybody down. You know, this is ours, 24/7, and we should know how it functions. We should know when there's an ache, what causes the ache. We should know when your stomach hurts, what causes the stomach ache, instead of go buy some Pepto-Bismol with chemicals in it that we shouldn't have in our body. It's just so much about this magnificent piece of machinery that our source creator has provided us with. You know, we have an obligation upon ourselves, so we can have an obligation to make sure that someone else teaches our children, instead of some knowledge and information coming from a stranger that is incorrect, and our children are misguided with misinformation and disinformation. So that's our job. That's our role. And we just try to play a small part in that by providing you with some of the educational initiatives that are necessary to be a better person. That's all we're saying. How can we become a better person? Well, you can't become a better person until you educate yourself about what a person is. And that's what we're trying to do here. So we are going to get started here fairly quickly. I just want to let you know, those who are on the line, and once again, this is IWDM Radio. I am Rashid Talab, your host and engineer for the night show. And our other host we have, Abdul Shaheed, from the American School of Symptomatology, who is on there each week with me, sharing with us information about our bodies. sharing with us information about different parts of our bodies, things that we don't know. And so trying to make this interrelated, interconnected concept work, we're going to have to come every week. Give yourself 2 hours once a week to study you, to learn about you. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to go to school. We're here with unadulterated truth. We try to provide you with speakers who come on who are scientifically based, who have studied and have made sure to ensure that we have what we need to be properly educated. If nothing else, provoke thought. If we don't do anything else but provoke thought, we've done our job, because we can't put anything in you, because what's in you is already there. But can we bring something out of you with just some of the statements that we make, some of the information that we provide, that can make you just think a little bit different than you think and elevate your process of going into hopefully another dimension of understanding of what this thing is called life and your purpose for life? You know, why are you here? What is this body for? What are we supposed to do with it? You know, so we need to get our thinking correct. So the last January and February, we talked about the human brain. We stayed on that mind for almost 7 weeks, trying to share with you how it works, the intricate details, you know, what's required, what are neurons, what are neurotransmitters, what's a acetylcholine, how does that affect our thinking process? And we've done a very, I believe, a very excellent job on providing you with some of those tools. And those of you who want to hear some of those broadcasts, we have recorded. You can go to IWM Radio/The Science of Health and You, and you can pull up any particular program that you want to pull up. Last week we had a phenomenal speaker who was on, who talked about the human heart. Excellent, excellent information. And we're going to have more speakers that come on. So you can have a full array of information that's all interrelated to what we're talking about here on this line every single Tuesday from 6 o'clock to 8. Eastern Coast time is 7 o'clock to 9. And West Coast time is 4 to 6. So we just want to thank you once again and welcome you to IWDM. And I think our guest may be ready to go here. So I am going to open her mic. And what I'm going to do as well is pull up her bio if she wants me to read it, or she can read it for herself. We have a couple minutes to go, and we'll give her a chance to come in. Karima, when you're ready, just let us know, and we'll just try to fill the vacuum here while you prepare yourself for the program. All right.
I'm ready. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. With that, would you want me to read your bio, or would you, you want to do it yourself?
I'd rather you do it.
Okay, very good. All righty, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I am honored. Let me pull this up here. We have okay. There we go. Oh boy. Right here. Okay. All right. Karima Medina Bilal, as she's known to her Muslim community, was named Audrey Tinsley by her parents. She is a Stanford University trained physician assistant who is licensed in 2 states. She always introduces herself as a physician assistant, but her patients insist on calling her doctor. A fitting tribute to the caring consciousness and compassionate way she has been practicing humane medicine for the past 44 years in the practice of
obstetrics.
Oh, obstetrics. Okay. Normally, you got two words. It's English language or something else. Gynecology, women's health, internal medicine, and primary care. In the context of providing, hang on, here we go, this computer, and you touch it, it goes, okay, in the context of providing these services, women and couples of all ages, cultures, and backgrounds have continually sought her down-to-earth advice on matters concerning health, marriage, sexuality, relationships, and parenthood. To better serve them, Corinne began a lifelong exploration into the study of alternative health, functional medicine, and energy healing, which continues to this day. Whenever Kareem is asked to describe her most outstanding accomplishments, she responds, being an effective, productive wife who has helped to raise 13 children to be effective, productive human beings, and a 10th degree black belt grandmother. As the mother of three biological children, a grandmother to four, the bonus of mothers to at least 10 others whom she worked calls her bonus babies. She believes that any parent who can successfully come home from work, resolve teenage meltdown, adolescent act outs, toddler tantrums while cooking dinner, correcting homework, and directing chores, and they'll still manage to be passionate and loving partner to her husband, is well qualified to mediate the crisis in the Middle East. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you the Honorable Kareema Medina Bilal. As-salamu alaykum.
Salam alaikum, family. Thank you. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate your kindness. I appreciate the ability, the opportunity to come forward and be a guest on your show. It's my fervent prayer that Allah will grant that what I have to share with you will be useful, will be beneficial to all that hear it, and that I can present to you something that is going to make your life easier. And if you would truly show your gratitude or whatever I might share, I would ask that you pass it on to your family, and that we can, right in concert with the goals that brother was speaking about before I got on, pass on information about health and stop this cycle of sickness and slavery. I maintain that sickness is slavery. So that is my mission on this life, in this life, on this earth. And to that end, I have come to, I have formulated something that I hope will be beneficial. It's called a Ramadan restoration protocol to improve your health, to change your lifestyle and rebalance your nutrition. Those are my intentions, to give to you a Ramadan restoration protocol to improve your health so that you can change your lifestyle and rebalance your nutrition. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, here we go. At the end of this, there will be an opportunity for questions and answers, and I will also give you my email address and a means by which you can contact me should you have a desire for additional information or clarification about something that I said. So about Ramadan, openly admit that I've always dreaded Ramadan. Some of you have too, but I'm just saying I've always dreaded Ramadan. Specifically, I dreaded the crushing fatigue and the sleepiness. When I first accepted the deen as my way of life, I followed what I now know to be the cultural ritual, of fasting during Ramadan. I could not wait for the breaking of the fast, and I eagerly, hear me when I say, eagerly awaited the Eid so that the fast would at last be over. I did. I did it dutifully, but with a degree of resistance, maybe even resentment. No need me hiding it. Allah knows what's in the heart of every one of his creatures, because somewhere inside of me, I was sure that something was wrong with this picture, that Allah did not intend Ramadan to be this difficult. Now, that was before I was able to do some independent research on the Quran and to actually I cannot say I read it, and I cannot say that I totally comprehend it in the Arabic, but thanks to the work of corpus.quran.com. Make a note of that. Corpus.quran. This allows even the novice to get a word-by-word translation of the Quran, and it provides probably 7-8 different translations by the different folks. Some people, Pictol, Yusuf Ali, Maldudi, on and on and on. And what I learned from that is that what you read in the translation is not necessarily the actual meaning of the word. Now, for this, I ask blessings not only upon those who came together to put together Corpus.Quran, but I ask Allah to abundantly reward Imam W.D. Muhammad for his commentary, and to abundantly reward my husband, Instructor Benjamin Bilal, for Nunetics. Nunetics, if I might sidebar here, Nunetics is a system. It's a language technology. Yes, a language technology that allows the student to understand the seeds of the words, the seeds of the letters in the Quran, in the Arabic language, and to also follow their meanings in the other languages. Because Nunetics is essentially a study of etymology, the study of language and word origins. And why, that may sound like a mouthful, and it is, but you're going to see, especially if you stay tuned, on Friday, Instructor Bilal is going to be giving a session, and his advanced students, I'm going to be eagerly sitting by, waiting with pencil and paper in hand to take notes on the things that he's going to say about Ramadan. And this is no idle scholar here. And the little things that he says are going to be just idle, off-the-cuff thoughts about things. This man is truly blessed by Allah. And I believe that what he has to say is going to change your understanding of what Allah intended by helping you understand the language of his book. You cannot ask the right question. You cannot get the right answers unless you know to ask the right questions. And Instructor Bilal is excellent with that. Provider, not an instructor of health and healing. I study the Quran, seeking hints and clues in those areas, health and healing, well-being. I love to bring it out of the book and into my life, where it's going to do me some good. And so in this presentation, I intend to present to you the preliminary results of my search. Notice I say preliminary because I'm a student, a committed student of the Quran, and learning never stops. And I pray that Allah will grant you some of the understandings that are contained herein. So it begins with this. In the Quran, Ramadan is mentioned only in one verse. Go to Islamicity, do a Quranic search, word-by-word search, and you will find that the word Ramadan is mentioned only in one verse. And in this verse, emphasis is on guidance and clear fruits, not fasting, but guidance and clear fruits. Hudan. Now, I'm giving you a little teaser that Instructor Bilal, of Instructor Bilal's lessons to come, and you'll find how relevant they are when you tune in on Friday. You should know that there are two different words
for fasting in the Arabic. Two different words for fasting in the Arabic. One of them is saum, and the other one is siyam. Siyam. And just to give you a little head start, the word saum is the one that's used in the context of Ramadan. Now, you do your research. You chew on that. You cogitate on that. And you begin to understand why I'm so enthusiastic about numetics and why it is that studying the Quran in the original Arabic will free you from cultural bias. From cultural bias and translator to language, because even in English, medical language has different meanings. It is a whole different study than everyday language. And if you don't speak it, you're not going to understand it. Don't take my word for it. Pick up any article from a medical journal. Read any medical textbook, and you will see 2- and 3-inch words, which if you understand, once you understand the roots, the prefixes, the suffixes, then it begins to make sense. And if you don't, then you're just sitting there saying, that person sounds very intelligent, but I don't understand a word he's saying, which when it comes to your health becomes a matter of great importance. So the thing that I want you to begin with, the points I want to make in the beginning, is that fasting, in contrast to the word Ramadan, fasting is mentioned 36 times in the Quran. And it is mentioned in the context of penance for sins. They use the word expiation, transgressions, and the control of base passions. Why would I bring that up here? Because I am of the belief that Allah did not intend Ramadan to be a penance for you, to be a hardship or a punishment on you. And you would confuse or conflate those two if you don't understand the difference between the two words. I believe, and I intend to give you here, my understanding that Ramadan, rather than being a punishment and a hardship, is intended to be a reset, and a recalibration back to the fitra. Remember, Medina Bilal, what is the fitra? I'm so glad you asked. The fitra, boys and girls, is that pattern, that blueprint Allah established upon which all of creation sits. You see, there is an order to the universe. Everything that happens, happens according to, as one of the speakers before I came on said, according to certain universal laws, according to Allah's plan, which is more intricate, more sophisticated, more elaborate than anything man, science, scientist can come up with. I can tell you that, having studied in that realm for 44 years, continuing, Allah's got the lock on it. So what in fact does Allah intend? Why would Allah put us through this? Allah has no need for you to suffer, for us to suffer. I've heard it said that fasting is for Allah. Allah did not say that you have to suffer to do that. Suffering, in my belief, is an infection, a corruption, a bleed over from Christianity, Jesus suffering on the cross. I don't believe that that's what Allah intended. And I think that if you do not understand, if you have not studied history, then you will be at the mercy of religion. Yeah, and when you study the history of Al-Islam, as Instructor Bilal and Imam WD did, you understand that there's been a lot of infection, a lot of bleed over from culture, which has become conflated with religion. And for that reason, when you approach Ramadan, you may just, if you're honest with yourself, have some of the same feelings that I had, believing that Allah always provides a solution. If you but ask, it will be given. Matter of fact, it's already given. It remains for us to do the uncovering and peel off the layers of foolishness and fitna, to get to the fitra. Yeah? Fitna, chaos, confusion, misinformation, disinformation. Yeah. So from a health and healing standpoint, let us talk about fasting. Fasting. Instructor Bilal will go into the religious, Islamic, Quranic things. I'm going to take what I understand of fasting as a provider, as one who studies the body, as one who studies health and healing, and I'm going to merge that, inshallah, with what Allah says in the Quran, and hopefully get us on track so that you ease into Ramadan, you squeeze all the juice out of Ramadan, and you benefit from it the way that Allah intended. So let's go back. Let's examine the surah itself. And it's, I'm speaking specifically of Baqarah, Surah 185. And I'm giving you, Ayat 185, Surah 2, Ayat 185. I'm giving you specifically the word-by-word translation from Corpus.Quran. And it's going to sound a little odd in terms of the way we do English syntax, but I'm doing it so that you can get the key words without the words in the brackets, which is really the translator's commentary. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Month of Ramadan that was revealed therein the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs of the guidance and the criterion. Call your attention to the word criterion and to guidance. So whoever witnesses among you the month, then he should fast in it. And whoever is sick or on a journey, then prescribed number should be made up from days other. Syntax different, right? Allah intends for you the ease and not intends for you the hardship. Right? We have a surah, Fa'ina ma'al usri, yusra. I can't get the, Inamal usri yusra. Pay attention to that yusra, because when you begin to, through the numetic system and the numetic system of learning and technology, you will learn that the letters, each of them has a meaning. And when you can then break down each of the letters, you'll get a subtle understanding. Allah does nothing by accident. Everything, the letters he chooses for the words that he uses, all of them have shades of meaning which would take you a lifetime to fully understand, right? He intends not for you the hardship so that you may complete the prescribed period and that you magnify Allah, for he guided you, or that you may be grateful. Now let's take that apart. First thing, Ramadan is a form of intermittent fasting. That's all the rage now on YouTube and Instagram, social media. Intermittent fasting as a means of storing health, resetting your metabolism. Allah was on that 1,400 years ago. What exactly is intermittent fasting? It means structured eating. Structured eating. As it stands now, we eat what we want, when we want, and if you follow those who are supposed to know and the food pyramid, you will eat three meals a day plus three snacks And depending on which version of the food pyramid you get, you'll eat carbohydrates and you'll eat very little fat and not a whole lot of protein, all of which is engineered, yes, I said it, engineered to give you diabetes and sickness. Mm. Therefore, we pay attention to the fact that in the Quran, Allah gave us the remedy for that long before it became fashionable. And that means that you eat only during specific hours with the intention of controlling your appetites and resetting your relationship with food, lest you make food your God. And if you think that I'm making that up or I'm exaggerating, then you've not seen, well, if you've got women, how do you feel about chocolate premenstrually? Don't take my word for it. Look at people at the iftars. People jump on food at the iftars as if they were in Africa somewhere, like starving people. And so much of it gets thrown away because the appetites are, your actual appetite is succeeded or dominated by what your eyes see. And there's this mentality of you're starving and suffering all day. So when you finally let off the leash, when sun goes down, then you can gorge yourself. And if you do that, you're missing it. Missing it. The differences between Ramadan and intermittent fasting is that Ramadan is dry fasting. This is what we call it in the health and healing world. It is dry fasting, meaning that you do not drink. Neither do you eat, but you do not drink. And intermittent fasting is you do not eat, but it's water only. Now, I'm not speaking of the other aspects of fast, which would be the siyam, in which you abstain from other carnal issues. And Dr. Bilal will bring that up to you, purely about what you eat, what you drink, when you drink, and when you eat. So radio station WIFM, what's in it for me? Why should I put myself through this? Well, first and foremost, because Allah said so. And if you're like me, and you need to hear some kind of corroboration in the real world about that, is that Allah says in previous verses, so that you may learn restraint. People go from Surah 183, 184, 185, and in those verses, you will see that phrase. So fasting is prescribed upon you so that you may learn restraint. Why should we learn restraint? Because your body is not yours. It's not. No, it doesn't belong to the NIH. It doesn't belong to the CDC, though they'd like to tell you so. It belongs to Allah. And out of his grace and out of his mercy, he lent it to us. He leased it to us at no charge, and it has rights. As the previous speaker said, we, the speaking sentient being that's speaking with you right now, we live community of trillions and trillions of cells, which have been organized, all al-fitra, upon the fitra in a certain pattern, with a certain blueprint, so that cells are organized into tissues, and tissues are organized into organs, and organs are organized into systems, and the systems work together as this body, which is huge. That is something that's totally amazing when you think about it. And part of Allah's mercy, part of his attributes, which we call Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Allah identifies himself as Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, he describes himself that way, is that this beautiful body that we've been given free of charge, it will heal itself, it will diagnose itself, provided that you give it what it needs. It knows no other way. Your body does not know how not to heal. When you smoke a cigarette and you damage your lungs, as soon as you stop, as soon as you put that first butt out, the cells go back to repair the damage. If you cut your finger, you cut your finger immediately upon that breach of the skin, Allah sends cells, platelet cells, to stop you from bleeding. And once you've stopped bleeding, Allah sends cells, the defense, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, prevent you from getting infected. And it does all of this without your conscious knowledge, without your conscious direction. If you doubt Allah's rahmah, you should know that. Put your hand on your chest. So what did Allah say? How are you supposed to feed this body? Well, most of us do not know. I didn't know about the word fitra until I started studying with Instructor Bilal. And I've been a Muslim since 1984. I just followed what people said. What we know about the fitra, your body must have certain things. What do we give it? We give it what we've been taught. I'm sure my vintage, you eat what I put on the plate for you. My job is to feed you, not to please you. When you get to where you can buy your own groceries, then you can eat what you want to eat. But right now, you're going to eat what I put on the table for you. And we bless our ancestors for that. They did what they could with the knowledge that they had. But here's the fitra. Body must have fresh, clean air. Our hearts go out to the people in East Palestine for what happened with the train wreck and the pollution of the air and the water there. The body must have fresh, clean water. It must, and this is in order. You can go 3 minutes without air before cell death occurs. You can go 3 days without water before death occurs. We must have sunlight. Isn't that an interesting thing when most of us work in buildings which have no windows? If you kept a dog, right now in North Carolina, it is against the law to keep a dog chained up someplace where it does not have fresh water and fresh air. They'll consider that animal abuse. But many of us, myself included, we work in institutions and buildings where the air comes through an HVAC, a heating ventilation system. And you might not get fresh air until you go out for lunch, if you're allowed lunch, or until you leave in the end of the day. And that's anti-fitra. You must have fresh vegetables, which are grown in nutrient-rich soil. You must have fresh fruits grown in nutrient-rich soil. And you must have some kind of protein, whether it comes from meat and seafood or from legumes, if you prefer those, but it comes from unpolluted, nutrient-rich sources. Now that's fitra. And I maintain that part of the reason that our ancestors survived the horrible life that they had was because they lived and worked outside in large measure when we were on farms and plantations. And not just our ancestors, people in general in the agrarian economy. You worked outside. You grew your food. You grew your animals. Yeah? And I distinctly remember learning early on not to mess with my mother or my grandmother because I saw them grab a chicken and wring its neck and cut the head off, and it went from
2 hours I was playing with it, and then 2 hours later it was on the table. We were eating it. I said, no, these women here, these are not people to mess with. These are not ladies to mess with. Now, you heard one of the speakers before me say or make reference to the law of universal laws. And part one of those universal laws is the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect. It states simply that for every effect, there is a cause. For every cause, there is an effect. And in food terms, you put garbage in, and you get garbage out. In agricultural terms, you reap what you sow. Folly, not to mention madness, insanity, to put garbage in your body, poor quality ingredients in your body, and expect to be able to maintain health. And one of the things about the law of the cause and effect is that nature is neutral. Nature is neutral. When you had to see those earthquakes, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. When it snows, when it rains on everybody. And whether or not you believe in gravity, which is natural law, if you step off a building, story building, you're going to be overcome by the laws of gravity, and you're going to fall flat, splat, just like that. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in gravity, whether you understand gravity, whether you accept gravity as a law of nature. You are affected by it, and you are bound by it. And so if you put garbage in your body, you're going to get garbage out. Well, what do I mean by garbage? Nobody ideally is sitting there eating out of a garbage can. However, the food that we eat, the food that we're given to eat, is high sugar. Why? Because when that narrative went out that fat was bad, they took the fat out and they took the taste and flavor out. And therefore, to get people to buy it and buy into it, they added lots of sugar. Highly processed food, right? The people that we know, my grandmother, my husband's grandmother, she lived to 103, my grandmother to 108. To all the people that live in the blue zones, the so-called blue zones, where people live to be centenarians, these are people that eat food that is grown in and on the earth, produced in a lab, where food is artificially colored and artificially flavored, and it has low water content. The human body is 60 to 70% water. Where did you get your water from? 95% of the water that we ingest comes from the food that we eat. Now, in that should be a sign for how you should break your fast. More on that coming in a minute. We are fed food that has low nutrient value. Most of us, and you're going to see it at the iftars, you're going to see it at the suhoors, to satisfy hunger. And we eat generally, mindlessly. And we eat food that has low nutrient value. The point of eating is to replenish nutrients, to replenish the things by which the body manufactures, things that are used for repair, things that are used to replace things that wear out. Where does it get it from? From the food that you eat. And if the food that you eat does not have it, where do you get it from? You don't. And the result of that is that you become nutrient deficient. And if you become nutrient deficient, then you
punish your Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, those that were sent to support you and to take care of you. You shoot your troops in the foot. And how sad is that? Because you're eating dead food. Food which is devoid of life force. Now, here's a sidebar, and I'm taking time to do that because it's a very interesting thing that the average one of us, myself included, did not know about until just a couple of days ago, maybe a day or so ago. And it is the fact that we had a major, hear me, major electromagnetic event. It happened March 7th through March 11th. And the people who study astrophysics, these are your NASA people, these are people that the geophysicists that look at and pay attention to and monitor the electromagnetic activity on the Earth. What they saw was a that was so intense in solar flares, you can say it was a burst of sun activity that sent a wave, a huge electromagnetic pulse wave towards the Earth. The Earth was bombarded. And it was so intense that the instruments that monitor it went off the chart for quite some time. And not significantly, you might have heard people complain, man, I just feel so weird. I don't understand why I feel so weird or what's going on. I can't point to anything in my life. I felt that way. You might have noticed your dogs and cats and animals were behaving curiously. I watch babies. Babies are extremely sensitive to these things, and they don't have the layers of trying to explain it. Well, am I wrong? Am I crazy? Babies just feel and experience. Yeah. And there's something called the Schumann resonance. And the Schumann, S-C-H-U-M-A-N, Schumann resonance, look it up. What you'll find is that the Earth is electromagnetic. I'm going to relate this to food, just bear with me. The Earth is electromagnetic. Every cell, every mineral in our body has an electromagnetic charge. You doubt what I'm saying? How do you think MRIs work? How do you think CAT scans work? We have metals in our body, iron, magnesium, zinc. All of these elements have a charge, an electromagnetic charge. I maintain that part of the reason all these crazy things have been happening, computers go shut down, trains go derail, aside from any deep state theories that I might entertain, it is because the earth cried out to Allah. This is what Allah speaks of when he says, the Surah Zilzal, when the earth begins to shake off its burdens and people ask, what is wrong with her? I maintain that we have abused this earth, which is a living thing, to such an extent that the earth cried out to Allah, I need replenishment. I need energy. And Allah sent the wave. My word for it. Look it up. Schumann resonance, electromagnetic activity, solar flares. Now, what does this have to do with food, Ramadan, and fitra? The food that we eat is most nourishing to us, because the plants are able to absorb energy from the sun in a way that we are not. The plants take energy from the sun, and through a process called photosynthesis, they transform it by Allah's grace into something that we can consume. And if we eat the right foods in the right way, prepared in the right way, then we will get the electromagnetic nourishment, energy, and activity into ourselves. That's why we eat. Not just because it tastes good. That's Allah's mercy to us. But we eat because we need the energy. We have to replenish energy. Now, part of what makes Ramadan so difficult, I believe, is that before and during Ramadan, we eat poorly. And the additional stress of the fasting, which is a stress, let us be real, fasting is a stress, but it's not a negative stress any more than lifting weights or doing exercises is a negative stress. It can be if you do it wrong. So here's what I thought. This is what I came up with. The restoration plan and the way to ease into Ramadan so that those days, those first 3 days, which are just misery, for me, they were misery, where you go cold turkey from eating 3 to 6 times per day into not eating at all. And then add on to that the getting up for Fajr, the people who stay up all night praying, all those kinds of things. Not only are you sleep deprived, but you become a water deprived, come nutrient deprived, because the average person, even without the fasting, does not understand what the body's needs are. So as I study intermittent fasting, this is what's recommended. They recommend that instead of going from zero to DEFCON 12 with a complete fasting for 24 hours, 34 hours without eating or drinking anything, what you do is you push back your meal, that first meal of the day, you push it back by an hour until you get to the point where before you know it, you will be at the number of hours that we fast. So what does this mean in practice? Usually, when you sleep, if you sleep 8 hours, you fasted for 8 hours. The average length of the fast during Ramadan, unless you're in, you know, the certain countries where, you know, they have very, very long days at this point in time, is roughly 12 to 14 hours. Now imagine if you're sleeping 8 of those, you only really have 6. You only really have 8 before the sun goes down, and now you can eat or drink again. Now furthermore, imagine that you wean yourself off in your body. Remember, everything that you put in your body is either something that promotes health or something that takes away from your health. There is no in between. There are things that are really good and there are things that are really bad, but they're either good, you're feeding the troops, or you're not. So here's the plan that I've been doing up to this point. I was doing it a week at a time, 4 phases of it, but this is, today is the 14th. So you have 8 days before Ramadan starts. If you did each phase for 2 days, you could ease into it. And I maintain that if you ease into it and then when you break your fast, you maintain the tenets of it, then the fasting will be easier for you. You'll get to that point where you get the benefits intermittent fasting without the misery. So, and now, mind you, I'm speaking purely of the physical aspects of it. I haven't even spoken of, and Structure Bilal will speak on, the religious, the spiritual, Quranic benefits of it. But purely from a physical standpoint, week one of the restoration, Ramadan restoration plan, stop putting garbage in your body. Stop it. Your body does not need much of the stuff that we put into it. So you eliminate in the main, you eliminate everything that is non-nutritive, anything that doesn't provide any nutrition for your body, things that are unnecessary, and anything that is non-essential food or drink. Stop it. Get rid of it. So in the first week that I'd been doing, I eliminated sweet drinks of any kind. Yeah, now
this was the easiest part for me because I'm not a soda drinker. I'm not a sweet tea drinker. The only thing that I really missed or allowed myself during this phase was my cup of tea in the morning. I look forward to my cup of tea in the morning, and I'm looking forward to not putting any sweetener in it. I happen to like brown sugar and milk in my tea, but as time goes on and I get stronger and stronger and more used to this, I will eliminate that, and it will just be different kinds of tea. Because in its essence, what is tea but dried leaves? And what are leaves? Plants which have taken the energy from the sun. So you benefit from those. So specifically, stay away from anything that is diet. Stay away from artificial sweeteners. This is when, if you choose to, you will learn the difference between your needs and your wants. Key, address your needs. Delay your wants. Address your needs and delay your wants. Water is a need. Sweet tea, soda is a sweet tea, sodas, diet sodas, even juice. Juice is liquid sugar. You what you should do if you're going to do, you eat the fruit, get the juice in the fruit itself. Right? You need the fiber. There are many, many things that are in the whole fruit that you will not get by juicing it. And anybody who's juiced knows this. If you, to get your standard 16-ounce, 14-ounce container of juice, you'd have to juice, let's say, 14 oranges, depending on the size of the oranges. You'd have to juice all of those. You'd never sit still and eat 12, 14 apples, 8 apples at one time. You'd not do it because you'd fill up with the water and the fiber before you could put that amount of sugar in your body. In the fitra, Allah provides protection. Take things out of their fitra nature, and then they become harmful. Death occurs in 3 days without water, if you did not know that. All other beverages are wants, and you were taught to want. You were taught to need these other beverages. You don't need soda, sweet tea, Diet Coke, any of that. You don't need that. You can go, did you know you can go the rest of your life without drinking another sweet drink and nothing bad will happen? There are entire countries, entire societies that have never, ever tasted soft drinks, and they do just fine. And they do not have cavities like we do. Week two, eliminate all sweet foods of any kind of table, how many sweets there are, and how people pounce upon them. The only fruit is the only sweet thing that you need. Yeah, you can go the rest of your life and never eat another Twinkie, another Little Debbie. Another pecan roll and nothing bad, another bean pie and nothing bad would happen. Fruit is the only sweet that you should eat. Eat fresh or frozen whole fruits. The eating dates to break your fast is a cultural thing. That is not in the Quran. Cultural. Didn't say it was bad. Just saying, if we are following what Allah says in the Quran and not the hadith, which many people conflate. Hadith is not Quran. Hadith is not the same thing, does not have the same weight or importance as the Quran. And many of them are specious, if not outright lies. Huh? So the breaking of your fast, none says you can't break your fast with oranges or break your fast with apples or just how about just plain, oh man, water is sweet when you've been fasting all day, right? Now, compare how much fruit you can eat at one sitting before you get full to cookies and candies. I myself have polished off a whole bag of caramels. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
I don't do it anymore, but I have. And fruits provide readily available energy. And this is important for you to know. If you do not use the energy from the food that you eat promptly, your body will store it as fat. So if you eat a whole bunch of starch and carbs when you come off your fat fast, unless you are prepared to do some walking or some exercise, and you're going to get the itis if you load your body up real full because you just was like so hungry, you got hangry, and you just like loaded your plate and stuffed a whole bunch of food, especially carbs, and you're going to get sleepy, and you're going to put all that stuff, your insulin levels will spike, your blood sugar levels will spike, and you will store all of that as fat. Eliminate everything made from flour, highly refined flours, whatever the grain is, whether it's whole grain, whole rice, whatever the grain is, it is rapidly converted into glucose and sugar. All you diabetics, if you want to reverse diabetes, speak to your provider, repeating, speak to your provider about changing your food, your feeding regimen, so that you, A, if you have diabetes, especially if you're taking medication, et cetera, you must speak to your provider about how you adjust your medication based upon fasting. Your body will tolerate high blood sugar, elevated blood sugar, a lot better than it will tolerate low blood sugar. So if you're going to take your medications and your pattern of eating is going to change, as it will if you choose to do this particular type of fasting for Ramadan, then your blood sugars are going to fluctuate and you might feel really bad. So get some medical guidance on this. Rising blood sugar stimulates the release of insulin. Insulin is a fat storage hormone, and it will convert excess sugar into fat. And here's what you need to know. High levels of insulin over time cause something called insulin resistance. And most people who have diabetes, 95 out of 100 people who have diabetes have what's called type 2 diabetes, which would be more accurately called insulin resistant diabetes. And over time, insulin resistance overworks and exhausts your pancreas, which is what produces the insulin, and will give you type 1 diabetes. Bad scene. And worse yet, if you intend to lose some weight over Ramadan, which you could easily do if you eat the way I suggest, then you will keep your insulin levels low, give your body a chance to rest in between feedings, and insulin suppresses your fat-burning hormones. So here's another reason. Ease up on your carbs. Week 4, eat no processed meats. Why do I say that? Because these meats have been processed meats. Bacon, sausage, turkey bacon, turkey, doesn't matter. They have been declared carcinogens. That means that they induce cancer. They contain large amounts of salt, sugar, and preservatives, none of which you want when you're fasting, especially dry fasting. If you eat something that's very salty, like your chips and such, and then you have to fast the next day, the thirst will drive you insane. And not to mention, they're usually made from the throwaway parts of the animal. And if you look at deli meat and you look at the date, you will see that the animal from which it comes has been dead a very long time. You look at the expiration date. It may be 3 months from when you buy it before it expires. That's kind of icky. And they generally have little nutritional value compared to, and they're expensive, compared to fresh meat. So a pound of sliced deli roast beef is somewhere between $7 to $10 a pound. Bacon, $7.36 a pound, compared to $4.80 a pound for ground beef. Now that's even at these levels, where the supposed shortages are. Bottom line, you'll do better to eat something that only recently died. It had a mother. It came from a tree. It came out of the ground, or it came out of the ocean. That's better for you than something that came out of a lab. And my personal favorite, the last of this, is whenever possible, eat food that you have prepared yourself or that has been prepared by somebody that you trust. Why do I say that? Because of quality control. You don't know what people do with your food in the back offices. You don't know who had a bad day, who just got angry, got yelled at from their boss, is now preparing your food. Remember what I said, energy, how energy affects things? You know that when someone who loves you prepares your food with love, does you good. And likewise, I personally, even if I'm angry or having a bad day, which I rarely do, but if I'm not in my right citrus state, I generally don't cook well. It's rare. I can flex like that. But it does happen. You want fresh food. You want food that's prepared in a clean environment, and you want ingredients that you can recognize. If you can't pronounce it, you shouldn't eat it. Bread, usually 5 ingredients. You get bread that's got a paragraph, you need it. And things are rapidly getting to a point. If there's a nice, light at the end of the tunnel here in this current situation that we're in, becomes so expensive that we will have to just let them go because they'll be too expensive to eat. And a lot of those things are things you could easily do without. When I talk about eating food that you've prepared, it's also cost-effective, much cheaper than eating out. And Structure Bilal and I have gotten to the point where we're like steak. We're like steak eaters. You can get ribeye steak. It's $10 a pound. Some places $12 a pound. But if you go to a steakhouse, you're going to spend $25, $30 for something that you can prepare yourself at great savings. And you never allow people who you don't know, who do not have your best interests at heart, or people who are mad at you, or who stand to benefit if you get sick and die. You do not allow these people to prepare your food. It's as simple as that. So what am I saying in closing here? That if you follow those 4 recommendations for 2 days before Ramadan comes in, which is generally expected to be the 22nd, 8 days out, 2 days, you don't drink anything sweet except a cup of coffee in the morning or a cup of tea in the morning. You do not eat anything sweet except fruit. 2 days each, that's 4 days. 3rd day, you do not eat anything that can, now these are cumulative, right? You add each thing so that you layer it, so that by the 3rd day, you're not eating sweets, drinking sweets, and neither are you eating anything that is made from flour or grains. And on the 4th day, which would be, or 4th phase, which would be right at the point of Ramadan, you are not eating processed food of any kind, only food that you made yourself. Now when you ease into Ramadan, now you're going to find a lot of that detox stuff, that getting rid of the chemicals that makes you feel so wretched for the first 3 to 5 days, you'll slide right into it. You know, make your life easier. And then when you break your fast with the intent of providing those things that it did without during the fast, clean, fresh water, minerals and electrolytes that come from fruit, not from energy drinks or Powerades or sports drinks. Those things are loaded with sugar. And you eat lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, lots of vegetables. And get your starches from vegetables instead of flours, pasta, bread, cookies, cakes, pies, things of that sort. And you make the food yourself, or if you make the food for your community, think of that. And a lot of people are going to go, well, if I don't eat that stuff, what do I eat? Well, there's your homework. The vegetable kingdom is vast. And there are many root vegetables which will provide the carbs that you need. Every night, Instructor Bilal and I, we eat sweet potatoes. We just become in love with sweet potatoes. And you got you prepare your meats, bell peppers, onions, garlic. Well, actually, ease up on the garlic while you're fasting. It'll make you thirsty. Same thing with onions, make you thirsty if you're fasting. But vegetables, collard greens, 2 and 3 times a week, green beans, corn. I mean, there's so many things. Just think green and give green energy, which they're trying to beat us in the head with. Give it a new meaning. And think about your body as a creature to which you owe some degree of compassion. You owe your body a debt of kindness. And if during this fast for Ramadan, you follow these guidelines or take them and modify them as you see fit, I know of no provider who cannot agree or no medical authority that's worth listening to that would disagree with cutting down or eliminating soft drinks, processed foods, chemicals, preservatives, and sugar. They're not worth listening to. You read any of the people that have any sense at all, they'll tell you, I'm telling you, return to the fitra. Reap the blessings. And then you will see what Allah intended for you, the ease that Allah intended for you. You got nothing to lose but your blues. You got nothing to lose but your sickness. And the benefits of intermittent fasting in a spiritual context, which is what Ramadan is, now you help your body recalibrate to the frequency that Allah established. Yes, and you get all those good vibrations, and all your inflammation goes down, your insulin levels go down, your skin gets clear, your mind gets, and then you feed, now that you've feeding your body the right things, you can feed your spirit the right things, because another one of those universal laws, as within, so without, as without, so within. So I wish you the very easiest fast, the best recalibration, the best reset, the most excellent health that you can have. And I pray that Allah will continue to enlighten you and bestow upon you a better understanding of what an incredible mercy he has given us with this body, and improve our understanding of how to use it best advantage for our progress, well-being, so that when we return it to Allah, he's going to not tag us for excess wear and tear and damage to his creation. So, my brother, if there is any questions that anybody wishes to ask, we can take 15 minutes or so and entertain them.
Very good. Once again, thank you so much, Dr. Karima Medina Bilal. I'm going to do like your patients do. We're going to call you doctor, okay? That was beautiful.
I've been called worse.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story that you told on restoration and how to promote good health. And for those of us who have been on this show before, you've heard some similar conversation. You've heard what she said. So even though you not or may not be a Muslim, what you got was valuable information about your health and how to manage your physical body. So for those of you who do have a question, we ask that you press 1 on your phone, and I'll open the mic and have and allow you to ask a question. This is IWDM Radio, the science of healthy you. This is Rashid Salam, your host and engineer, along with Abdul Shaheed. And our special guest tonight is Dr. Karima Medina Bilal. So she's done a wonderful job. And those of you who may want to hear this again, there's a possibility on the recording that's attached to this particular program. So I don't know how she feels about that, but I'll allow her to say that. But here we go. We got minds popping up all over the place here. Hands are being raised. And those, get in line, people, because I know she said something that provoked thought. I know she said something that you didn't know.
And if you want some elaboration on it, you have this opportunity right now. So we're going to open up the mic, 404-202. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amira Wise here from Atlanta, Georgia.
Wings line.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we do. We hear you very well.
I want to give the greetings to Dr. Bilal, Sister Bilal. Thank you so very much. I've still been late, and time changed here, and then the time in the other city. But I tuned in when you were talking about the electromagnetic frequency of food, and so that's a subject that I have been revisiting here lately. So I've got a question, a couple things. Can we restore the electromagnetic frequency of foods if we're blessing the food? And secondly, if we're exposing the food to frequencies, you know, sound frequencies, healing frequencies. So I'm going to shut up so then you can respond. Thank you so very much again for just being on the show.
Well, yes, you most certainly can restore the frequency. So the first thing to do is to buy things or grow things that already have that frequency in them. And I'm specifically referring to sprouting and microgreens, tremendous energy in them. The energy of a growing plant is much greater than that same energy in the adult plant. That's one thing. Second thing is, when you may have read a book called The Secret of Water. His name was Haramu Emotu.
Yes.
And
yes.
His work was how water changes its crystalline structure when it's exposed to kind words, when it's exposed to words of hate, when it's exposed to music of healing frequencies, and when it's exposed to words of music that's destructive, that shredding thing. And most of all, I'm working with a company now which uses something called terahertz. Take 30 seconds and explain to you. The company is, you message me. My phone number is area code 516-209-6069. And my email is truehumanhealing, just this way it sounds, truehumanhealing@gmail.com. And what I will share with you at that point is that when you subject your food to microwaves, you're subjecting it to high-frequency vibration. The human cell, every human cell in our body vibrates, and it vibrates at a certain frequency. That frequency is measured in terms of something we call hertz. You, just like you would measure distance or length in inches or centimeters, frequency is measured in hertz. And this particular technology called terahertz has been around for a very long time, and it is now at a point when it can be used to restore the proper frequency that human cells operate at, which in turn has been demonstrated to improve health. Now, that's as much as I can say in this context, and if you message me or email me, I can provide additional information. My number again is 516-209-069, and my email address is true, T-R-U-E, human, H-U-M-A-N, healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, @gmail.com. So the short answer to your question, absolutely so, and when we bless our food, and we say we give thanks for the food, and we ask Allah to give us the good in this food and protect us from any harm for the food, I believe with all my heart that you raise the frequency vibrations in it. Just don't eat dead food so you're not involved in trying to raise the dead.
Thank you so very much. I really, truly appreciate it.
One other thing. Thank you, madam. May I also tell you that I'm going to be in Atlanta on this. Instructor and I will be in Atlanta on March 31st, and we'll also be in Atlanta for the Eid on April the 23rd. I'll actually be performing. I'll be singing. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. So Wally Ali. So just make it, put that in your calendar, and perhaps you can email Wally Ali. I don't happen to have his email, but we can provide that for you in future shows. So just keep that in mind. We'll be in Atlanta.
On March 31st, but the Wally Ali show isn't until Eid, correct?
That is correct. But we'll be in Atlanta for something else. So if you chose to, if you wanted to meet with me or you chose to get more information and so on and so forth, Instructor Bilal has students in Atlanta. So we're going to be there for another occasion.
All right, then I'll message you and get more details. Thank you again so much.
Madam. Please press 1 on your phone, Amira, and so you can get out of the queue. We have another hand raised. We have 239-334. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open. 239-334. Your mic is open. Okay, we'll get back to that line. We have 111. Please state your name. Tell me you're calling from. The mic is now open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa
alaikum assalam.
This is Sister Amina Bashir. I am so grateful to be able to talk to you, Dr. Karima.
Yes. It is better so that the powers that be do not get excited. You just call me Sister Karima.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to ask about the fact that eating in small portions, the wisdom behind that, and not stuffing ourselves during, what do you call it, iftars, you know. And I'll hang up and listen.
there's wisdom in not stuffing yourself iftar or any other time. The best part of that is that if you give your body what it needs and you eat things that have lots of fiber and water in them, then you're going to fill up quickly, and you're not going to want to eat a whole lot. You should eat until you're satisfied. Eat until you're satisfied. And if you eat mindfully, which means stay away from the television while you're eating, in that circumstance, when you eat in front of the television or you're watching social media, what you'll do is you'll eat a lot more than you intend to because you'll just be eating robotically. You're not thinking about, am I full or not? You're not paying attention to your body sensations. So the best thing to do is to eat those foods, pay attention to how you feel, and recognize that you're not going to starve. Even though you, during the course of the day, if you in the old way prior to this discussion, you may feel like you're starving, but you're not going to. Your body's not going to allow that to happen. Most of us, especially us here in the South, we have so much food stored in our belly, in our thighs, legs, arms, but we are loaded with extra groceries. And when you fast, you're going to take some of those groceries and use them. So even if you only took in 500 calories because you just got full, this is the principle behind gastric bypass. What is that? When people have these weight loss surgeries, what they do is reduce the size of the stomach. What that means is that you can only put in a small amount of food before it becomes uncomfortable and you'll stop eating. Well, where do you get the rest of those calories from? All the food that you've stored up is fat as you, in the past, and that's why these people lose weight quite so rapidly. You can do the same thing during Ramadan. But what you must, this is why Allah says that the Quran was sent for guidance. Because if you simply focus on, oh, please, you know, some of them start calling Jesus, I can't wait, Jesus Christ, for this fast to be over. And you're focused on that instead of the spiritual and emotional aspects of eating.
Right.
then you're going to be miserable. But if you do what Allah says, which is seek His guidance, keep your focus on the Quran and your spiritual pursuits, then your energy, which we spoke of before, is going to shift away from your stomach and shift onto your spirit and your mind and your soul. And this whole thing is going to be a very different experience.
Yeah. All right. It was powerful, powerful information. So I do have her phone muted. So did you want to say something, Amina?
Yes, I just was happy to hear that she just said she'll be in the Atlanta. You and your husband will be in Atlanta March 31st. So I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing you as well.
Inshallah. All right.
Remember the big picture is the Eid, which will be April the 23rd.
Yes, and my biggest, my most famous person that I love, my number one artist, Wale Ali, and then you and your husband. It'll be an honor to see you all. Inshallah. Salamu alaikum.
Please press one on your phone, Amina. We appreciate you. Thank you for sharing. We also have 314-330. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. This is Medina Waikio from St. Louis, Missouri. Let me start off by saying how much I'm enjoying this program and learning so much. But because I tuned in a little late, you may have already covered this. But if not, can you address the use of an air fryer and how it affects our food, if you would, please?
Sure. I'm not a fan of frying food. And the reason for that is you get 95% of the liquid, the water that we ingest through food. And when you fry, depending on how knowledgeable you are about frying, you're going to dehydrate your food or subject it to microwaves or other kinds of things that are going to dry out the nutrients. Remember, vitamins and minerals, especially vitamins, are destroyed by extreme heat. Now, air fryers, I think, are the best of that lot. I like the way you saute stuff, you bake stuff. I like wet food, and I like that because it keeps the oxygen in the food. Remember, water is two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, H2O. And when you fry food and you dehydrate it, the oxygen goes out of it. You break up the water, water goes out of it. Now your food is drier than it was when it started, and you lose out on those things. So better than frying in seed oils, cottonseed, soy, corn, safflower, all those kinds of oils, those things are bad for you and you shouldn't use them. So if you're going to fry your food at all, then the air fryer is better than microwaving, and it's certainly better than frying in those oils. If you're going to fry food at all, you need stuff that has a low smoke point, and that's your olive oils, extra virgin olive oils. But better yet, I'm a good, out of sheer laziness, rotten laziness. I'm good for sauteing things. I'm good for
baking things or pan frying, sauteing things under low heat, and keeping the juices and the moisture in food. But that's just the preference. I say, as far as I know, there's no downside to the air frying and probably some benefit.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just one on your phone on your way out, Sister Medina. I appreciate you for the question. All right, we have another question here, 918-814. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Rahima Rahim, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My question involves fasting for 2 or 3 or 4 days without any food at all. How does that affect the body? What happens to the body when you fast for 3 or 4 days?
A lot of good things. What is more important than the fasting is how you the most important part of that fast is how you break it. Now, if you're going to do the fast for Ramadan, you're going to do intermittent fasting, even 24-hour fasting, it's generally acknowledged that you're not going to get into much trouble. When you get into the longer fast, certain metabolic changes happen. And if you go, let's say, 3 days, and then you jump right back into eating solid foods all at once, you're going to feel awful. And the healing aspect of it is very well documented. As a matter of fact, there is a facility in California called True North. True North. It's in California. I think it's in Santa Rosa. And if you wanted to get really good guidance on this, the upsides, downsides, pros, cons, dangers, et cetera, of fasting for long periods of time, he does guided on-site residents in-house fasting for up to 40 days. And he has seen miraculous, and he's a medical doctor, so it's medically supervised. The longer fast, you definitely have some element of medical supervision in it, because you really can get into difficulties with electrolyte imbalance when you go for longer fasting. And the way you break that fast, what do you eat or drink first, has a great deal more importance with the longer fast than it does with the intermittent fasting for Ramadan, even if it's 18 hours fasting, 6 hours eating, 16, 8, any of those kinds of things. You're pretty safe grounds doing what I suggested. But if you're going to do a water fast, I do not recommend dry fasting for that period of time. No, that's definitely going to get you into dehydration and sickness, and it can even be lethal. Remember, you can only go 3 days without water before some very serious changes occur. So to answer your question succinctly, if you're going to do long fast, number one, you want to have a specific goal in mind. Are you trying to decrease inflammation? Are you trying to reverse diabetes? Are you trying to reverse malignant conditions in your body? All of these things have been addressed, but with medical supervision. You would want to Google Alan Goldhammer. Alan, A-L-A-N, Goldhammer, G-O-L-D-H-A-M-M-E-R. He is the medical doctor that runs True North in California. And he is excellent. I have studied his work. When I get my nickels and dimes, it won't be nickels and dimes, when I get my 50s and 100s together, I would actually go there and stay for a while, because it will help people with arthritis, people with immune complex diseases have gone there and had them, and he's documented it, written papers on the results that they've gotten. But just to reinforce, I would not do long fast, water fast, 3, 4, 5 days and so on, without some element of supervision with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Thank you so much. You're highly appreciated. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Thank you, Sue. And I do have one question here from the internet. Someone just texted me some information wanting to know, based on the information you shared about how to prepare for Ramadan, would that same application apply during the month of Ramadan as far as recipes for breaking your fast and your daily programs that you do?
Absolutely. What I suggest is, again, 2 days at a time preceding Ramadan, eliminate sweet drinks. These are things that you should just do as the way of life. Sweet drinks, desserts should be a treat. And that's something that you just do every blue moon. There's I wrote a book on this called The Reason for Flu Season. You can message me and I can forward that as a PDF to you. The powers that be have structured a holiday for 8 months out of the 12 months of the year, during which time you're encouraged to gorge yourself on sugar, meat, sweets, et cetera. So a nice pushback to that, to take your health back, is to eliminate those things as a matter of course and just make their consumption a special occasion. And be really clear about what is called a special occasion so you don't get sucked in. But especially during Ramadan, things which have lots of vegetables. And if you're a carb-sensitive person and you really like carbs, then get your carbs from vegetables, root vegetables, especially green vegetables. Get all the salads in you. Get all the shakes made from fruits and vegetables in you that you want. Use those for your desserts. And, yes, have your proteins, have your meats, easy on the salt, easy on the garlic, easy on the onions so you don't get really thirsty, and don't fear fat. Fat will sustain you, and it will keep your insulin levels at low levels. Keep your sugars from spiking and keep your insulin levels low so you won't have these peaks and valleys, these points in the day. I have fallen asleep while I was typing. I've been on the subway, fall asleep standing up during Ramadan. So your body will use those fats, and you won't have these big ups and downs and crashes. Don't fear fat.
Okay. All righty. Then I think that the other person has hung up the phone here. Let us bring in our other guests. Host here, you know, is Abdul Shaheed. Maybe he has some questions for you. Maybe he want to share something with the listening audience. But as we wind down the time, and I'm so thankful and grateful that you took the time out to share with us, and we do look forward to you coming back and speaking with us again. The floor is open for you whenever you want to attend a program again. Abdul Shaheed?
I appreciate it.
Yes, we'd like to thank our guest, Sister Karima. You've given excellent advice, and we just pray that that our listeners continue with the advice even after Ramadan is over, beyond Ramadan, so we can maintain our health. The advice of removing the garbage, because that's why we're sick. We have too much garbage in our cells, congesting them, compromising them, and we have garbage and blood impurities in our blood circulating everywhere. So we should take the opportunity during Ramadan to really begin to clean up our system, clean up our blood, clean up our cells, and don't look back. Don't look back to start doing things like we used to before Ramadan. This is excellent advice. So why go back? Continue beyond Ramadan so you become the very best possible human being on this planet. This is the objective. This is the objective. So we certainly appreciate you sharing the information about electrolytes, drinking electrolyte-enriched water. When you drink water, drink beverages, that's what we should be drinking all the time. You know, electrolyte-enriched water all the time. Our cells need electrolyte to produce more electricity. Excellent advice. We certainly appreciate the opportunity to have you come on the program, and we look forward in the future for you to do more of the same, because I think many of our listeners have gotten used to listening to us, so you bring a fresh air to the table, and we certainly appreciate quit.
Yes,
thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, and give Instructor Bilal the greeting from us as well.
I shall. Trust and believe I will do that.
Okay.
Remember, in the last seconds here, remember Instructor Bilal will be speaking in this broadcast on March the 17th, which is Friday. And
yes.
If you think that I had interesting things to say, I got a lot of it from Instructor Bilal. So he's going to come ready to take some heads.
Absolutely. We'll be tuned in.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll remember that.
And also remember, in Atlanta, at the Eid, April the 23rd, Wali Ali has put together a very nice concert. I'll be one of the artists performing, and we'd love to see you there.
Inshallah, we'll be right there.
Yeah, I'm doing it. He's from the Georgia area, so I'm sure he'll be
there.
Yeah,
I'm sitting right in that answer.
Inshallah.
Because Instructor Bilal has a Zoom call going on tonight, and you're listening to IWDM Radio as we speak. So we want to thank him for his assistance and his help, and I look forward to seeing him on Friday, 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, and we're looking at 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. We'll be talking about feasting in the month of Ramadan. Fasting during the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. That's Mark Shaheen's statement. We're going to kick that off this coming Friday, and we're going to look forward to the new genetics, the Quranic script, and everything pertaining to what we call fasting in the month of Ramadan. So I'm looking forward to it myself. This is my personal request to him. He honored me to say, yes, Rashid, I'll do that for you. And I want to thank him while he's online listening at the same time. But I look forward to marketing and promoting and all those who are on the line today. You know, each one of us knows somebody. It's over 35 people on this line, on this line. Not talking about the internet. If you could just get 5 people to say, hey, let's go find out about the science of our health, the science of who we are, and get a wonderful presentation as we've gotten today. I mean, a beautiful presentation on restoration and how to promote good health, things that we have been talking about on this line for over a year and a half now. And, you know, now you get a different perspective. Last week was the part where we talked about the brain, acetylcholine. We talked about neurons, transmitters. I mean, we got all these things we're trying to package and put together so you can have a manual for your life, a manual that you can share with your children, a manual that you can share with your grandchildren. Because at some point in time, we're going to have generational health, which should be our value. That should be our wealth, passing down generational health to our children for sustainability purposes. And that's why we're here. And we just hope that we were able to provoke some thought, provide you a little information to begin the process of trying to train and educate yourself. Please come back on Friday. And we're here every Tuesday. And we have some great programming coming up on all the other systems that make up the human anatomy. And we'll be discussing those, how they work. And bring children. Our children need to hear this. My granddaughter is 6 years old, tells the classroom what to do about health. See, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I can't eat that. My grandpa says this. This is what we need to do. Let's stir up some things. Let's provide our children with the tools they need to be successful in life. So on your closing remarks, wait a minute, did she take off? Yeah, she's gone.
Just one last thing I'd like to say.
Go ahead. Take your time and give us your closing remarks, and we'll go from there. Go ahead.
Alhamdulillah. On YouTube, I have several videos. You just Google Karima Medina Bilal in YouTube, and one of them is I'm on a campaign and a personal mission to do a complete narration of the Quran. I have one juice that's there, and another several of them that I've done that Instructor Bilal will be putting up and making available free of charge during Ramadan. So, again, you can Google, you can either just Google me. You can also find them on Instructor Bilal's channel. Just put in Imam Benjamin Bilal on YouTube, and you'll see some that I've done, he's done. He's probably got 100 different videos up there. But the reading of the Quran, I'm not an Arabic speaker, so I had to do it. I did it with the intention of my grandchildren
hearing it and being comforted by it and being able to listen to it when they go to sleep. And I think that you'll find it comforting and pleasing to listen to. So look for that.
And we definitely look for it. Most of the time, I'm on there falling asleep half the time trying to listen to all the presentations. I got to take care of my sleeping habits here. But we thank you so much and thank him so much for everything that he's done for our community. And we look forward to talking to you. Do you have any other closing remarks you'd like to give before you leave us?
I'd only say that for all the good that came out of what I said, the praise and the credit goes to Allah. If I said anything that was an overstatement, misstatement, omission, or an error, the blame for that goes to me, and I ask Allah's forgiveness for it. My intention was to do only good.
Okay, Alhamdulillah, we feel appreciate you. So with that, I think you have a phone number that she left, 516-209-6069, and her email address. You want to give that one more time, Dr. Bilal?
Sister. Sister Karima Medina Bilal.
Okay.
It is for True Human Healing, T-R-U-E, True Human Healing at gmail.com.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And Abdul Shaheed,
yes, thank you.
Both talk from you as my host tonight. And once again, those who come on late, this is the Science of Health and You. And I am Rashid Salam, your host and engineer for tonight's show. And we've had a wonderful guest as we had last week and as we're going to continue to have, promoting what we call a life manual to good health, a self-care initiative to create an optimal healthy situation for your family as well as yourself. So Abdul Shaheed, you give us Mark today. We thank you again for coming on and being my guest host, and we can't wait to get you back in the
salary. You did an excellent job. You did an excellent job.
Yes, sir. And we thank our listening audience. Any closing remarks you have, Abdul Shaheed?
Well, I just simply like to say that people to our listeners, the Muslim, to continue to prepare for Ramadan and beyond Ramadan. And come back next week, and we're going to talk more about why people are sick, and can continue to share scientific verifiable information to reverse every condition so we will have optimal health, so we become the very best possible human being on this planet. That is the objective. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We greet everyone with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, we surely want to thank you again. Now, this is the audience. IWDM has other programs that come on throughout the weekend. We're going to have our public service announcer come on and share that. But keep in mind this one thing. If those of you, I think you've heard me say this before, go look up Senate Document 264. Look that document up. It's an article by Rex Beach. And he talks about the soil. And we know how important the soil is. And we talk about, soil and rich food. But you need to know this, and you need to know why this exists, and you need to also know that these demons, and I have to call it like that, these people who concoct all these different types of foods and in the laboratory and feeding us, the stuff that really doesn't do our body any good, but yet they put this stuff in front of us all day long. They tell us that your body cannot consume genetically altered seeds, but you sell it to me anyway. You tell us that your body can't take in certain types of things, but you sell it to me anyway. So I just want you to think. That's all we're trying to do, and we won't be able to think until we know. You have to understand something. You can't think about anything that you don't know about, and you surely can't be things that you don't understand. So we want you to continually come here, share with your friends, have a family moment every Tuesday. Maybe you have dinner and put the phone on speakerphone with your children and your family members, your cousins. All of us know somebody who's ill. This no coincidence. Nobody can tell me that you don't know someone who's sick in your family or your neighbor or a friend. And you have something that you've heard tonight about you, the science of you, how your body works. Tell somebody about this. You're obligated to tell someone about this. Bring them on to the show. And some of you I know are not Muslims. We have some Jews on the phone. We have some Germans on the phone. We have people all over the country, and we have two people from overseas on the phone in the military. But they're listening because they want to know. So share with those that you know have issues in their lives, and all of us know one thing. We have never been told the truth about food. We have never been told the truth about food, and we have this opportunity to get unadulterated truth, scientific information, that we can say we know this is the truth because the science has been done. So with that, I want to thank you so much for being on the line. I also want to have our public service announcer. If he's on the line, you can press 1 on your phone. And Mark Shahid, are you there? So you can basically give us the announcements for the rest of the week. Oh, he is not there. So let me say this. Tomorrow on IWDM Radio, we have the Parenting Reconstruction Learning Lab. And Mark Shahid is usually the one who hosts that show, but he's going to be on his honeymoon. Mark Shahid got married here in St. Louis this past weekend, and they're out enjoying themselves. And we have Nika here in St. Louis, Missouri. And Mark will not be on the show tomorrow, but he forced me to take the show and host it for him tomorrow. So I'll be on with Dr. Patricia Saluddin on the Parenting Reconstruction Learning Lab. And also, we know that we have the Muslim Global Roundtable that comes, the Muslim Global Roundtable that comes on right after that show. And we have Imam Mikhail Sahir, who's going to be our host tomorrow, discussing things about what happened here in St. Louis recently. And he was here he did the Kutbah on Friday, this past Friday here. So we'll be discussing that and talking about some issues and things that took place here in St. Louis. On Thursday, we also have the lab for marriage learning lab that comes on every single Thursday, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, with Mark Shahid, who probably will have Karan Shakir out of Atlanta, who will be hosting that show on Friday. And that's also what happens every single Thursday here on IWDM Radio. On Friday, for those of you who are mobile and can't get out to come to the Islamic Centers or the Masjids to do Jummah prayer, Imam Michael Sahir is also on Fridays to do Jummah online here on IWDM, as well as he's here on Sunday afternoon, shall I say, at 12 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Central Time, Eastern Time, and he does Words Make People. That's Michael Sahir. And then we have the ABCs of Al-Islam-based conversation on Mondays with Nazim Pasha on Mondays at 5 o'clock on the air here on IWDM. So tune in. That number, 714-816-4673, serves all the purposes of what I talk about today. And normally we're on the air, and we'll have a new Ramadan schedule coming up. We'll be able to share that with you before the week is out on what our Ramadan schedule is going to be like. We'll be cutting things from 2 hours to 1 hour. And we look forward to you staying in touch with us, and we ask you to stay in touch. Share this information. Please share this information as we begin to change what we do. Every single Tuesday, we're right here. Every single Tuesday, we're right here. And this show is for you. And all we ask you to do is wake up. Tell someone else about it. So with that, I leave you. As-salam wa alaykum.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We got
gotta change it, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. We gotta change it, just you and me. Change again, just you and me. Change again, change again.